Hello, my beautiful people. Welcome back to another episode. Today, we have a very special guest on the show named Anna. Anna is a Hot and Healthy member who lives in Japan. And she, very early on into her journey, as she was preparing for her wedding, had to go on an international business trip. But that's just really the surface of her story. On today's show, you're also going to hear her talk about how she went from restrictive dieting to then intuitive eating, and eating whatever that she wanted to finally actually finding balance with her diet and wanting to lose weight and making peace with the fact that she did want to change her body, even though she did love herself the way that she was. A common struggle I see for many women. We talk about weigh-ins, the scale, because she's a gossip girl, tends to get in her head. The scale is not always a positive thing for her. She shares the literal thing she did on her international business trip to still be able to lose weight while eating Levain cookies and pasta and loving all things New York food. And most of all, she shares even her journey segueing into maintenance. So without further ado, welcome Anna to the show, and I hope you guys enjoy. Hello, ladies. Welcome back. We are joined by Anna coming to us live. I'm in LA. She is in Japan. We are making this moment happen. Can I tell you, you are my first guest from Japan. How does that make you feel?
I'm honored.
I love it.
Thank you. Thank you for having me on the podcast.
Oh, it's going to be so fun. Now, Anna, we connected because you are in the membership. We connected because of your story before your wedding, but kind of just diving into it, tell us like a little bit about your journey and what inspired you to join not only the membership, but like really kickstart your entire plan ahead of your wedding.
So I actually have been dieting for a really long time since I was a teen. And I had some successes and some failures. So I actually managed to lose weight several times and I managed to keep it several times, but then I gained it back. And several years ago, I gained that weight back and I was really struggling to lose it again. And I wasn't comfortable counting calories and I tried different approaches and different diets, but they would work for some time. So I would lose a few kilos, a few pounds, and then I would gain them back because I kind of didn't believe in the logic behind the approach, I think. So last year before my wedding, I actually had a long fasting, like a week fasting last January.
So you tried fasting for a week time frame?
Yes, for a week or like 8 days. So I lost weight, but obviously, I was scared after finishing because I knew that the minute I started eating, I would gain some weight back because you just have food in your stomach because you have some water retained and stuff like that. So obviously, I gained some weight and then I got stressed. There was a lot going on in my life as well. So my eating habits became really chaotic and then I just decided to work more on my relationship with food and not focusing on the weight loss. So for several months, I think I was trying to be more intuitive and become more in tune with my own body. And I think the thing is that I loved how I looked. I loved myself. So I came to accept myself in any weight. But the issue was that when I went to dress fittings, I wasn't really comfortable. I didn't really like how I looked. And somewhere deep inside, I knew that I wasn't happy with how I looked and I wasn't confident enough. So in August or in September, I became really anxious because there were like two parts of me. So one part didn't like how I looked and wanted to be healthier, fitter, slimmer for the wedding. And another part was kind of criticizing that part and was saying that, no, dieting is bad. You shouldn't be dieting. You should love the way you look. You should be intuitive. Like dieting is not healthy and things like that. So I ended up struggling between those two personalities.
Yeah. I mean, like it's getting pulled in both directions because you want to love yourself the way that you are, but it is interesting. Still deep down inside, you were like, okay, I do love myself, but I don't actually love the way that I look and even how I feel and how I'm like presenting in clothing and in wedding dresses and stuff like that. That's a really interesting point you bring up.
Yeah. So I think you often talk on the podcast about intuitive eating and diet culture and how now there is this idea that dieting is unhealthy, that people shouldn't diet, that, and that whole idea makes you feel bad and kind of embarrassed if you want to diet. So I felt all that. And I even think there were days when I was eating, even when I wasn't really hungry, or I would eat some sweets like chocolate, even when I didn't want it, because I would say to myself, like, you can eat whatever you want. You're allowed to eat whatever you want. And if you're allowed, you can eat chocolate as if you're a child and your parents allowed you to eat chocolate. So one day in the end of September, I got a package from my mom. She sent me a skirt I wanted. And I tried the skirt on and it didn't fit well. So it was too tight and I realized I couldn't wear it. And I tried some jeans I had from before and I realized they didn't fit either. And then I just realized that I was lying to myself, that I didn't feel good. So it's okay to buy new jeans or like new skirts, new clothes. If your size changes, of course, if you're comfortable, if it's the best for you, sure, it's okay to buy new clothes. But I just knew that I didn't feel well. I wasn't comfortable. So, and I also was even thinking about like different supplements which help you lose weight because people around were talking about them. And I was like, yeah, maybe I should try something. And then I just stopped and talked to myself. And I realized that I was lying to myself. Like I wasn't honest. So I wanted to lose weight, but I was kind of trying to lie to myself, to people around, saying that I was content with how I looked and I wasn't going to diet for the wedding or like for anything. So at that point, I realized that it didn't work. And I decided to actually start dieting. And I knew that for me, counting calories was always the most efficient way. So I started counting, but I was very anxious at first. So I had a long experience of failures. I had a long experience of counting calories and then going overboard. And I also was kind of scared of going on a diet and kind of failing at this intuitive eating thing.
Ooh, wait, we need to stop there for a second because the amount of women that I know are going to relate to that. So you've done these fad diets before, or maybe you haven't listening to this, but for your story, Anna, you have dieted before, you tried to lose weight, and it never sounded like it ended up in a really good place. So then you embark on this intuitive eating journey, whether it's just being intuitive or like actual intuitive eating, like the framework, whatever it is, like you're being more mindful, intentional with your body. And then you get to the place that you just described, which is okay. I don't love the way that I look. And you're at this crossroads where you don't love the way that you look, but you also like do love yourself. And it's this really weird place. And I know personally kind of like what that feels like, where like you're fully accepting of yourself. You're going to be fine if you stay the way that you are. But as time kind of progresses on, you're like, wait, I love myself. Like, that's not even the question here. But like, I just don't feel 100% like my best self, put it that way. And then you're kind of placed with this dilemma, really, which is, okay, do I diet or do I just fully accept myself? And there really is no in between. When you felt so at this crossroads and it was a big dilemma for you, how did you navigate those emotions and decide to take the next step? Because a lot of women listening to this are going to be in that, like, I'm paralyzed. They haven't taken action yet because they're scared to go back into restrictive eating. They're scared to mess up their relationship to food that they just worked so hard on with intuitive eating. How did you navigate that in that moment?
I think talking honestly to myself that I wasn't content was the biggest part. And I just thought that if it didn't work, I could always go back. So I knew that I had that experience in the past and I knew that I could go back to eating the way I was. But it actually clicked when I found your program. So how I found TSN was through Facebook. I think I wrote a message in some women's community.
Oh, wow. Oh, my God. Wait, I don't even know the story. I'm like at the edge of my seat. Oh, my gosh. In some women's community. Tell me more.
I don't even remember the community, but it's community of one of the bloggers who is really kind of trying to empower women. And I shared my thoughts and that I was trying to lose weight for a long time. And then I was trying intuitive eating. And then I did didn't like how I look. So I wanted to lose weight, but I was scared and things like that. And someone recommended your podcast and I found your page. So I listened to a webinar on Saturday, I think. So I spent like the whole morning listening to a webinar, looking and watching your videos. And then I was like, I love what she says. And even though I kind of know all this stuff, I love how structured it is and I love the honesty. So then I applied for 1 month's membership and then I prolonged it for 3 months membership. It was really helpful. Like I watched the videos in all videos in several days. I was watching them on the subway. I took the test and I'm a gossip girl. And during the first week, especially, I was kind of anxious and frustrated. So I felt hungry sometimes. And I was like, no, it's not going to work. Calorie count isn't working. I will be too focused on food again. But then I went back to your words about gossip girls kind of becoming too anxious and stopping something and going to another thing. And I was like, no, you should just stick to the plan. You stick to the plan. If it doesn't work, it won't make it bad, worse. Like, just stick to the plan and see how it goes. You can always go back. You just need to stick to the plan and see how it goes. Just stick to the plan. And that was really helpful for me, realizing I was a gossip girl, realizing my habits and kind of sticking to the plan, even when my gossip girl personality was trying to sabotage me.
Yes. And like your brain and knowing that, I'm so glad you're sharing that too, because it's one thing to go through the content. I always say, and this is just for everyone inside of our programs, like it's one thing to go through the content, but it's another thing to absorb the content and use the information to your benefit. And why we have you take the quiz. And by the way, even if you're not in our programs, you can take the quiz and figure out your weight loss type. Like if you're a gossip girl, you're getting in your head. So as soon as, you know, week one, everyone loves a good week one. Everyone loves to get their calories. You're excited. You're motivated. You're going to the grocery store. Like everything is super great. But like weeks two, weeks three, weeks four, like those are the toughest points for a gossip girl because you start to second guess yourself. You start to think back to not even think. I think it's sometimes subliminal and like subconscious where just the old habits that you always do when you diet, they start to come to fruition. They start to come to the surface. So for you to be able to identify that and not just do what you've always done, that's the point of this. That's actually changing your habits and going about this differently. For you at those early stages, was it when you said like it wasn't working, was that related to the scale or was it related to just like feeling overwhelmed with the process? And I ask that because I know a lot of gossip girls listening to this, if they don't see the scale move, like within a certain amount of time, it might be a different amount of time for each person, your expectations. But for a lot of gossip girls, when you don't see the scale move, immediately you have that like visceral gut reaction of like, oh my gosh, I'm messing everything up. I'm so broken. This is never going to work. And that's why you hop to the next thing. Was it the scale or was it just like in general, you felt kind of overwhelmed?
In general, I felt in general, but to be honest, I wasn't weighing myself regularly. So I think a week after starting the program, I had to go on a business trip to the United States from Japan. So I didn't have scales there. So for 2 weeks, I couldn't weigh.
Which was kind of a benefit for you having that trip so early on, because I mean, I'm thinking back, and not that that would have sabotaged you, but imagine if week three you got on the scale, or week two even, and like it didn't say something that you wanted. I'm sure if you're anything like me, that would deter me if I was in your shoes, you know what I mean? So it almost is a blessing in disguise that you had this massive business trip to the United States.
Yes, yes. So I was overwhelmed in general. I was scared I would become too focused on the food, on calories and things like that. But I also knew like I wouldn't see results in a week.
Which is good. I'm glad you're saying that and putting that out there, because a lot of people say that, but then they think, right? I'm calling out people listening to the show right now who might be like, no, I know progress doesn't occur in a week. But as soon as you start a program, you're like, okay, well, like, what's my way in next Friday? And if it isn't lower, I'm going to freak the F out, right?
I think I say that, but if I had been winning and if I had seen that the weight had not gone down, I would have freaked out and I would have been like, I'm doing something wrong.
Oh, yeah. And that's a normal reaction, by the way. For anyone listening to this that like has that reaction, that's a very normal reaction. Dieting kind of sets us up for that, but we can have these candid conversations about how, why that maybe isn't what we should be focusing on, but yeah, that's for another day. You know, right early on, so obviously you live in Japan. For everyone listening, she lives in Japan. And she had this massive business trip to the United States. And me and Anna were joking off air. And we were like, you literally had a tour of the whole United States because you were East Coast, you were West Coast. Like, you did it all. Going on a trip that early on, I'm kind of curious, going into that trip, if you had anxiety, if you were excited, and also just even like the planning and how you still executed so much of like the calorie tracking, the food choice, like how you navigated that, especially because this isn't like you're just taking a short little flight to another part of Japan. Like, you literally were traveling from Japan to the United States and just so far away from home. Culturally, food is very different too. So I'm kind of curious to hear everything that kind of went into that trip and how you were feeling going into it.
I was excited for the trip, but I was also kind of anxious about the whole food stuff. And with the jet lag, I was scared that I would eat a lot.
Wait, I have to ask you, I have to interrupt. In Japan, because this was your first time to the United States, and now I'm putting my bias into it, but guys, we're going to ask the question. Did you have this perception of what the United States food culture and diet was before you came here? And did that make you feel like, oh, I'm going to overeat? Or was it just because it was a trip?
Yeah, it was because it was a trip. I didn't have any ideas about the United States diet. I don't know. I think in general, I prefer to decide after I see something myself. But also, I've been watching other people from the United States. So I knew that there is like a lot of healthy products in different stores and you can choose. So I think I realized that it depends on what you choose. It's not that some countries are healthy and others are unhealthy. It's more about your choices. So there is always healthy food and unhealthy. And I wouldn't say unhealthy, like different types of foods, which all have different nutrients and you can choose what works best for you. So that was it. But had a lot of people telling me that I would gain weight in the United States. Like, even if you don't eat, you would still gain weight because like that food is different or...
Yeah, that's what I was getting at, because I know for a lot of my clients in Europe, especially when they come over to the United States, sometimes they have this perception that the food is obviously different, because obviously different places serve different foods and cuisines. And obviously America is like this melting pot, but specifically like the food processing, that's a really big conversation I have with my international clients. And even my clients here in the States, when they go over to Europe and they're like, I'm so nervous, like all like the Italian pasta and the gelato or, you know, wherever they're going. And it's funny, sometimes like they come back and they're like, oh my gosh, just because the food culture is so different there. Yeah, I was eating all these decadent foods, but like the food was so natural and wholesome compared to like some of those same foods you have here in the States. But yeah, no, I completely agree. And I love that you said, like, you know, in every culture, there's going to be high calorie, like more processed foods. And there's going to be like the more natural, less processed, wholesome, more basic things as well. And, you know, not kind of pigeonholing it. But that's so interesting. People almost like tainted your perception of the US food before you came here, which I'm sure impacted your energy a little bit of being like, okay, I have to be on edge because this food's more fattening versus like maybe some other countries that we go to. That's really interesting.
Yeah, I think part of me was thinking that if I couldn't lose weight, then probably it didn't make sense to follow the plan. But then I just told myself it wouldn't hurt. Like, even if I don't lose weight, it won't hurt me to follow the plan. Just follow the plan and see how it goes. In fact, it wasn't difficult because I had like Whole Foods next to the hotel. I had Trader Joe's, Sweet Green, and all those things. So I found a lot of healthy products and products which felt good for me. So I really enjoyed it. And I even miss Chobani yogurts.
Oh, yeah. Chobani's not in Japan, I assume.
No.
No, yeah, they have some other brands, I'm sure. Okay, a few rapid fire questions. With the trip, and I mean, you were over here for a long amount of time. How did you navigate the time zone difference and the jet lag with your appetite and those changes? And I'm asking this question especially because for my clients who do travel, and it's not just like you're hopping on a plane from like Boston to Florida and it's like the same time zone, but like when you're traveling different time zones, that can really affect your energy. It can affect your sleep. It can affect so many different things. So how did you navigate the adjustment of the time zone while also obviously trying to manage your weight loss goals and like your health goals?
First of all, I tried to sleep on the plane to New York according to the New York time. So when I got on the plane, I changed my smartphone to New York's time. And then when I think it was evening, so I just went to sleep. I didn't eat there. I just went to sleep and made myself sleep. And when I came, I just didn't feel sleepy. And also I came on the day of the flood. If you remember, there was like flood in New York, so we couldn't land for several hours.
Oh my gosh. Welcome to New York. Welcome to the United States, Anna. Japan gets floods. Y'all get tsunami, so I can't even talk.
So when we couldn't land and we were supposed to go to another city to land, but then we managed to land in New York, I think I got huge dose of adrenaline. So I wasn't sleepy and it helped me to kind of switch to the local time. And I didn't feel really jet lagged for several days. I think I was jet lagged only for one day, but yeah, I just tried to follow the local time. And also I had like business meetings, so I couldn't sleep during the day.
You had no choice. You couldn't accommodate more. Oh my gosh.
And focusing on protein. So that was the advice I got into the same community. And I think I even joined some of the calls in the community and the coaches were saying to focus on protein. So I was really focusing on protein to feel me satisfied and not to kind of go crazy around different sweets. But I still had pasta. We went to a restaurant several times. I had Levain cookies. I had Mamon cookies. Like,
you really did it all in New York. Levain cookies. Oh my gosh. Can I tell you, I've never had a Levain cookie. So before I moved from Boston to LA, I don't believe it's in LA, but Boston has a Levain cookie now. And I never went. So you had a Levain cookie and I haven't. And I'm here in the States. What the hell is going on? So with this trip and knowing the fun foods and like for a trip like this, I mean, you might come back here, but it's one of those what I call is like a once in a lifetime trip where like, gosh, like if you never come back here, you want to make sure you're doing all the amazing things. And it's tough because you were also wanting to lose weight for your wedding, wanting to lose weight for your confidence, but also wanting to live your life at the same time. And like you have this business trip, you have this amazing opportunity to visit a country that you've never been to before. So it's like you have to balance exploration is really what it is with also the discipline of what your goals are. So how did you navigate fitting in fun and fitting in these really cool food experiences that, by the way, guys, for anyone listening to this, I never want you to miss out on having the Levain cookie or having the pasta in Italy or having the amazing sushi in Japan and like the cool fish that you can only get in that part of the world. Like you want to have, and fish is a bad example. That's a really healthy food. Anyway, you guys get the picture, like having those fun foods. How did you manage that with also having the goals and the pressure and the timeline of your wedding?
Thinking about calories as money, as budget was really helpful. So I was just thinking every day what I wanted to have with those limited calories. If I wanted the Levain cookie, I would put it in the app and then I would see how much calories I had left and I would just focus on protein for those other for like breakfast or dinner or like other times. But I also think I came to realize that the amount of calories for my deficit was enough to feed fun foods. So it wasn't that a fun food would use up all your calories. And if you look at it as a budget, it's possible to fit in fun foods. So that's what I learned. And it was really helpful for the time I came back to Japan and continued with the weight loss journey here.
Yeah. I'm so curious. Do you feel like your experience, was it easier to stick to your plan because you were just like so thrown into a different country and like the food was so different? Or did you find yourself having a way easier time when you got back at home? I'm so curious.
The experience was really different, but I think I lost 1.5 kilos or even 2 kilos during that trip to the United States. And it wasn't difficult, I think, because I was really busy all the time and I had a lot of things going on. It was very exciting and I was really excited about my job and I really liked what I was doing. So I didn't have to focus on food. And also we really walked a lot. So,
oh, I'm sure in New York. Yeah.
I had more activity than I have at home. And I think it also helped.
Yeah. And I asked that question because I think a lot of times there's this perception when you travel, and even for some of my clients that have work trips, and when you have a work trip to like a really remote place, it can certainly be really difficult to get access to healthy foods. I always think back to when I visited New Orleans, Louisiana. Shout out to my former client, who's now my friend, Victoria, who lives there. She was like, Lauren, now you're really seeing the true Louisiana, because I'd been there before, but it was when I was a lot younger. And now being a dietitian, being there, I was like, oh my gosh, depending on the area you're in, like, there's no healthy store I could even walk to in my vicinity. Like, what am I going to eat? So definitely where you're at, I know, can limit like your access to foods. And like you were in New York City, Vegas, like there's a hub for access to food. But I asked that question to you because I think there's this perception when you travel that it's going to be so hard. It's going to be so difficult. How are you going to stay on track? But the way you're talking about food, it's like, no big deal. You want the Levain cookie? Put it in, see its caloric value. And if you want today or this week to be a weight loss week, just know it's like a puzzle. You have to fit in all these other things. And I almost think the structure of being on a business trip, being so busy, it almost allowed you to like, yes, I'm going to enjoy myself. Yes, I'm going to not have any guilt for this, but I'm also going to just like make it all work. It's really about just making it work is the vibe that I'm getting from you, Anna. It's like with whatever is thrown my way, I am going to make it work. And I'm also going to stick to the plan. I know you said that a lot.
Yes, yes. I even had a day when I had over my calorie budget. I think it might have been like 1,000 over. And it was for the first time since I started the program. So at first I was really anxious and I was thinking about, I don't know, fasting the next day or doing something. But I also told myself to stick to the plan. And I actually looked at the weekly average and realized that it was still in the range. So I was like, the weekly average is fine. Just stick to the plan and just see the weekly average for the next week and make some adjustments if it's not working. So as a result, I had such days when I went over the calorie budget when I came to Japan too, but sticking to the plan and just focusing on the averages was really helpful. And in the end, it helped me lose the weight. So it worked.
Yeah. And I also think like sticking to the plan, of course, meant like your calorie budget and like your plan for the day. But I also think that takes on a new meaning of sticking to the plan, which is we're not slashing our calories because we went over one day, right? And when you have that framework of, okay, we're looking at the weekly averages, it gives you that like infrastructure in your diet and in your plan to not make those rash decisions that, by the way, are completely normal thoughts when you think about it. If you go over your budget, let's talk about like a personal financial budget for a second, guys. If you go over your budget, of course, that your first reaction in a month you go over your budget is like, shit, we got to cut back. But then you're like logical and you're like, okay, I can't make my food budget zero. I have to buy gas, or maybe you have an electric vehicle. Just kidding. But gas for your car. Like you can't just cut out everything cold turkey. It's about the averages over time. And so maybe you're cutting back on things that don't matter as much. That's like the desserts, right? It's like you could cut back a little bit on desserts. Like let's not cut back on the protein that you need to be healthy. But I love that because for you to be able to so candidly say, you know, like a normal human woman, I had those thoughts about, okay, maybe I should go faster. Maybe I should, you know, for some people it's work out more or like compensate in some way. But then when you have that infrastructure, it's like, okay, I don't need to punish myself or like make up for it, because some weeks literally you might go over your budget and it by the end of the week, it doesn't even matter because like you're still within your budget and that week could even be a weight loss week. So that's such an important point. Segueing into all things wedding, because a lot of women listening to this episode are probably brides to be or prepping. Maybe they're going to be in a wedding, or I don't know any person, male or female, at a wedding that doesn't want to feel good. Like everyone wants to look good on their wedding day, or if it's like a friend's wedding, like we all want to look good, right? We all want to feel good. for you preparing for your wedding, how long of a time did you give yourself to prepare for the wedding? So like from when you started your journey to like when the wedding was, like how long did that process take you?
The whole preparation was 9 months, I think. But my weight loss journey was for 3 months. So I started the program on September 16 or something like that. And the wedding was in December. So I had 3 months.
Oh, wow. So whole journey was longer than the wedding time frame, just so we're clarified. But you gave yourself a solid 3 months to lose weight. During that time, did you feel like, hindsight's 2020, was that enough time for yourself? Do you wish you started sooner? Was it, you know, a really great amount of time that felt like you could adequately like make some momentum and progress and like a dent into your goals? How did you feel about the time that you chose for it?
In the beginning, I thought that I should have started earlier. And I was kind of criticizing myself for that. But during the journey, I felt that it was all right. And I started feeling more confident. I felt good with how I was eating. So I think I just kind of thought that I would feel okay, whichever weight I had. So no one would weigh me on the day of my wedding. Like, okay, come here. Like, ooh.
Oh gosh, no. That sounds like my living hell. Oh my God.
Like, nobody will weigh you in front of your guests and say, wow, we thought you would wear this and you're not. Okay, we're going home. No, nobody is going to do that. Like, what is important is being with your loved person and your partner and your guests, people you love, you care about, and sharing this precious moment with them. So that was what I was thinking about. So in the process, I think I wasn't that focused on the numbers. But after the wedding, I found that the time frame was really worked really well for me. And the reason was that those 3 months were the right amount of time for me to focus on the diet. It was not too long and not too short. So I think 1 month would not have been enough for me to lose the amount of weight I wanted. But at the same time, starting a year before or 6 months before might have put me in a different mindset. Maybe with CSN, it would have been different. But the way I had done it before, I think I would have lost weight. And then I would have been thinking that I had to maintain it until the wedding. And then I would have got actions and I would have started overeating and would have gotten to the point where I needed to lose weight again. So I think for me, the time frame was completely right, but I think it depends on every person and how much weight they want to lose and what their journey before the TSN was.
Yeah, yeah. And I always say for women in general, usually before you have an event, the sooner you know you have this desire to lose weight, the earlier the better, honestly. But I do think there's this dynamic of leading up to your wedding. I totally agree with you. Anything, I mean, honestly, anyone just hoping to like do something for a month, like it's just not enough time, like truly, because say you can't build momentum in that month and you're like starting and stopping, or like there's just not enough time to like really look at your habits to make a change and like see what's working and what isn't working. Because for some people, yeah, you're going to lose weight every week. For other people, it's going to take some fine tuning over maybe a month or 2 months, even 3 months to really know, okay, these are the things that are holding me back and these are the things that I need to change. So yeah, I love that you gave yourself, I think, on the shorter end, but like still enough time for you to build some momentum and feel really good. Plus you had this like big deadline of the wedding, so it got you really motivated. I know you mentioned if you started earlier, the maintenance piece, and I'm chuckling because I know we talked off air right when we decided we were going to record this, and you were sharing how like you never thought you'd be able to feel like you could actually manage, and you're 6 kilograms now down, which is around 14 pounds for everyone here in the States. And the thought of like managing that amount of weight loss, like you've never, I don't put words in your mouth, but not that you've never been able to lose weight and keep it off in that way, but to manage it in a way that it didn't feel like, okay, I got to run to the next thing. I got to run to the next diet to like, you know, make sure it stays off. How has maintenance been for you since your wedding and also since you've lost the totality of the weight that you've lost so far? How's that journey in maintenance been for you?
Actually managed to keep weight off in the past, but in the beginning of my journey, so when I was a teen, I don't know, for the last several years or even more, I haven't been able to keep it off. So in the beginning, I was a bit scared of starting the maintenance journey. But I don't know, I just thought that I had to stick to the plan. And if I saw that something went wrong, I could always go back to deficit. So that was one part, just kind of trusting the process and going on with it. The second part was that I actually had a flu or something like that on the New Year's holiday. So during that time, I didn't count. I stopped counting and I add slightly over my calorie budget, or not slightly, maybe more than slightly over. But I just decided to allow myself to eat whatever I wanted and to stay in, not exercise and not walking a lot. And then when I started feeling better, I went back to how I was eating. And when I weighed in, I didn't gain weight. So sometime after I got back to my routine, I weighed in and the weight stayed the same. So that was when I realized that even if I went over the calorie budget, it was still fine. So it's not about one day ruining the process. It's about the whole period of time. And it kind of gave me more confidence, realizing that one day doesn't change everything. But it's still only months, so I'm still not that sure in the maintenance phase.
You're like, I'm maintaining, but like, you know, let's touch base in 3 months and see how I feel. And you know, honestly, I love that candidness because you actually took what you said when you first began, which is okay, and it's actually shown up in your story a couple different times. But like when you first began, if this diet didn't work, if this plan didn't work, guess what? I could just go back to intuitive eating and like fix whatever, you know, needs to be fixed. Not a big deal. The same with your trip to the United States. It's like, okay, if this doesn't work, like we'll be able to get back and, you know, make tweaks and adjustments. And now you're bringing that same energy and that same mindset into maintenance, which is okay. You know, if I happen to gain weight back, which I say this to people all the time, you know, I'm pregnant right now. And I keep bringing that up to people because when you're pregnant, obviously you're going to gain weight. And, you know, whether it's pregnancy, whether it's a life event, a positive life event, a negative life event, like your weight is going to change again. And I say that to people, like, it is going to change again. And that has nothing to do with you restricting yourself and then binging because of the fad diet you were on. No, like, you can gain weight for reasons completely unrelated to dieting. Maybe you have a medical illness, God forbid. Like, you know, things are going to happen. And I love that mindset and just like the energy and vibe that you have, which is okay. We just have to see what happens. And if I'm seeing stuff I don't like to see, if I get uncomfortable in my body, if, you know, my weight goes up, we just make a change. Like, it doesn't have to be a big deal. I know obviously when you gain weight, it can feel like a big deal, but like we have to go into maintenance, not expecting the worst, but hoping for the best, envisioning the best scenario happening, which is we're able to manage our weight. And even if the scale goes up one day, or even if our calorie budget, like even if you go on this amazing vacation again, that's like a week long, like when I went to Hawaii, I was loving my life, eating it up. You know, you're going to come back and the scale might be up a little bit, but that doesn't mean like you've gained all this weight back. It means, okay, I enjoyed myself. It makes sense why the scale is up because I have not been eating or exercising in the normal way that I do. And I just love that energy that you have with it. And, you know, you'll see a couple months from now what happens. And I'm sure the results will be really positive for you.
Thank you. I actually wanted to add a few more things about my journey and what was really helpful, especially during the first weeks. One thing was Friday check-ins, weekly check-ins in the community. They really helped me in the beginning because when you're just starting your journey, it may be difficult to change your habits, to start counting everything, to learn how to fit in different foods and things like that. And those check-ins kind of gave me some, not a goal, but I was thinking that I want to check in on Friday. So, okay, I just have to stick to the plan for this week and then write it on Friday. And that kind of gave me maybe a small goal to stick till the Friday. And then when Friday came and I wrote the weekly update, I kind of got power and energy to go into the next week. So that was really helpful, the accountability and taking small steps part. That was one thing. Another thing is your approach to food. in the community, on the podcast, and on your social media. I think in some new podcasts, you were talking about realistic approach, and really felt like it and really liked it, because often you get those recommendations when you have to cut off sugar or cut off this or that, or flour or gluten. And I don't know, prepare chia pudding. Chia pudding is wonderful, but I just want something faster. So sometimes I don't have time in the morning to prepare chia pudding. I would like to take chobani and eat that out of the fridge. So when I had those restrictions, I became so anxious. So I would want to eat sweets and chocolate and cookies from the supermarket, not because I wanted them, but because I was restricted, because I learned that they were bad, and that kind of made me rebel and want them. So your approach, allowing all kinds of foods and just thinking about it as a budget and fitting in the right things, was really helpful for me. And it took a lot of pressure off food choices. So I knew that I could fit whatever I wanted and it was good. I just realized that some types of food give me better satisfaction, and some types of food give me emotional satisfaction, but I won't feel full for a longer time. And that's okay too, because you can choose what is more important for you at that point. And even now, during the maintenance journey, I sometimes experiment with different foods, and sometimes I don't feel full. And then I just say, actually, yesterday I had some tortilla for lunch and I wasn't full, so I had to eat something soon after. And in the past, I would have criticized myself for making the choice and say that I should have chosen something more fulfilling, something cleaner or healthier or something like that, even though what are those concepts? But yesterday, I just told myself that, okay, I realized that this combination didn't work for me. Okay, I can do something different the next time. I can eat something in addition and see if I'm hungry again, then okay, I will eat something else. Even if I go over the budget, that's fine, because it's only one day. It doesn't change a lot. It's just kind of like navigating your way. So this was really helpful when I first started the program. And I heard you saying that you help women fix their relationship with food. I was really suspicious about that. I was like, no, that's fairy tale. But having been on the program and doing it for several months, and now coming to the maintenance phase and listening to Maintenista, I actually realized how it is possible. And I actually think that it is possible. And for me, it really worked.
Oh my gosh. Absolutely. Mic drop moment, Anna. Thank you so much for coming on the podcast and saying that. Your story is so epic. Not just the amount of weight loss, but just how it's like really fit your real life and impacted you. And I just love to hear also, not only your relationship to food has improved, but also like you're not going back to any fad diet that you've ever scrolled upon and saw on social media or ever tried, right? I know you haven't done like a ton of fad diets before. You're not one of those people, but just knowing that you have this in your toolbox and your tool shed to do for the rest of your life, like you always have this to fall back on. It's so cool to see. So thank you for coming on the show.
Thank you very much for what you're doing.
Thank you, Anna, for coming on.
Hey, girlfriend. Thank you so much for tuning into today's episode. If you'd like to learn more about eating right for fat loss and never gaining weight back, I'll be continuing this party on Instagram, where you can find me at sorority.nutritionist, posting inspiration every single day. Also, if you're wondering where to get started on your journey, be sure to head to thesororitynutritionist.com/quiz to take my free quiz that will tell you why you aren't losing weight and what you can begin to do about it so you can see progress faster. You can also find any other links and resources mentioned in the show at thesororitynutritionist.com under free resources. I hope you have such a beautiful day, and I will see you next time, girlfriend.